Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my laser light show friend, Frank. How are you today?
I am doing great. I am on the grid, and I am happy to be here, my friend.
That is so good of you.
Oh, yeah. I'm really good. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a good person. I'm, like, really good.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah.
I've heard that you're a good person. One would say you're almost... something referencing something else.
Hey, all right.
Hey, very good.
What kind of beer are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Samuel Adams Harvest Hefe.
Harvest Hefe.
Is that actually how you say it?
I think so, yeah. Hefeweizen.
Yeah. H-E-F-E. Harvest Hefe. It is really good.
It's very good, isn't it?
It is sweet and spicy and full of the harvest feelings.
Full of the harvest. Very fall beer.
It is a very fall beer. It is. Even though we're having slightly unseasonably fall weather.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine. You like it.
It's fine. I do like it. I do enjoy this beer because I am also having one.
That's excellent. So, it's again, almost like you. It came from the same fridge.
Cheers to you for having more than one of these beers.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. You know, because they sell them in six.
In six, conveniently. Yeah.
Convenient for your consuming pleasure.
So, Timothy.
So, Frank.
We have some following up to do here.
Yep.
We have our ongoing series, Let Me Tell You Why It's Wonderful. And
wonderful.
Yep.
Anyway.
Last time we did this, I gave you an assignment, and that was...
You sure did.
...to watch a movie that has a 51% Rotten Tomatoes score, so go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Tron Legacy. You asked me, does it matter that I haven't seen the original? I haven't seen the original 1980, whatever, Tron.
Yep.
And I said, no, doesn't really matter. I hadn't seen it either, you know, when I first saw this movie. I rather enjoyed this movie, you know, when I first saw it. And it's gotten a bad rap. It's gotten a good rap. Different people rap good and bad on it. I don't know why it's talking about rap.
Yeah,
it has a good and bad reputation, depending who you ask.
Yes, it does.
What, my friend, did you think of this film?
I thought this film was okay,
mm-hmm.
And that's about. It was a movie
was
that
a movie.
I watched
that I have now seen.
I've now seen a movie.
Yeah.
Go me. This film sits exactly in the era of Disney where it looks awesome, and the story is just okay.
What are other movies? I'm curious. What are other movies from that era that? Because I'm blanking right now. What
John Carter.
Oh sure. Okay.
Pirate sequels.
Yep.
You know, Lone Ranger. You know,
that was Disney Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it sits in this huge budget.
Yeah.
It's a very tiny, minuscule era of Disney's history right here, but it's a huge live action budget where they're just really trying really hard to get a franchise going and can't do it.
Yeah.
Because they're pouring all of this money into the production design. And but the story is whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad story.
Yeah.
It's just not great. It's just not thrilling, or the characters are meh, or it's kind of like, oh, of course he's a daredevil and the thing, and the, you know what I mean? Like, it's missing some kind of energy or spark.
Yeah.
And that's where it sat for me. This movie felt a lot longer than it should have.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but that being said, I didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
I think how great it looks kind of carries the momentum
forward.
It does,
doesn't it? Yeah.
I think the action's good.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bridges is great.
hits.
No matter what he does. This is definitely not the best thing I've ever seen him in. Uh-huh. Even his performance is not wonderful. It's good Jeff Bridges, but he does kind of, I feel like he's kind of phoning it in just a little bit.
Okay.
Not young version Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
But like, cause he's doing both, but like, it's he's kind of like, okay, it's a thing.
He's fine.
Main character guy, Sam is like, you're a good looking dude who can kind of read, say some lines. You know, he's that kind of, you know.
He does have that energy.
Yeah, he's got that kind. He's got like the Charlie Hunnam energy, you know.
Yes,
like, you're a good looking guy who can say some lines.
But you've like coasted mostly on your looks and not on your acting ability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, because that, and I just am uninterested in who you are as a person. I think Olivia Wilde was interesting.
Yeah.
I think Michael Sheen,
yes,
was great because he's great in everything.
He's great,
but yeah, but that was kind of like,
okay.
Yeah, so like, I would never watch this movie again.
Yeah, I know.
But if it was someone was like, let's watch Tron Legacy, I'd be like, all right, I guess I'll play on my phone for 2 hours.
Yeah, okay,
and like watch it out of the corner of my eye.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. That's because you're a much nicer person. If I was as unenthusiastic, let's say, about a movie as you were, I'd be like, no, let's not watch that. But you're like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. Because you're just a nicer person.
I can always find something redeeming in a film. And like I said, this movie's beautiful. You could watch it on mute and be like, wow, look at that.
Fantastic, like, yeah, beautiful movie. So I saw this movie in theaters when it first came out.
Mm-hmm. See it in 3D?
Yes, I believe I did.
Yeah.
I believe I did.
I feel like this movie would be good in 3D.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was. I remember I was, 2010, I was so gung-ho about this movie in the most unexpected way, because I had never seen the original Tron.
Sure.
But there was some hype around it in like the geek community.
Yep.
Just because it was like the return of
Tron,
a classic. So I watched Tron the night before seeing Tron Legacy.
Okay.
I fell asleep watching Tron. And I was like, this does not bode well, but I already have my ticket for tomorrow. I already have like plans with my friends, so I guess I'm going. Yeah. We'll just see what happens. And I freaking loved it because I was just captivated by this world, by this whole fantasy, this whole concept of like getting into the computer and there being like programs who were like personified as people, and all this stuff. Just my imagination, it just took my imagination and ran with it. I was very captivated by the story. And by the concept, I should say, and the look of it, and the music, the Daft Punk score in this film, still to this day, one of my favorite film scores that I can just listen to. I think the film score is one of the things that is absolutely close to perfect about this movie.
Couldn't tell you
close to perfect.
Couldn't tell you a single note from any of this movie.
I sincerely mean this, like. If you're looking for some music to listen to or something in the car, like just throw it on, or like while you're working or whatever.
Can you give me a little bit of something right now?
with
your own voice. I don't want real audio here.
Bum 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 bum.
Okay, yes, I do remember
bum,
that.
Bum, bum,
yeah, that was
bum,
good.
Bum, bum,
I do remember that.
Bum,
it was
bum,
good.
Bum bum bum. Boom, boom, boom. That's
it's
the main
the
theme.
Eye of the tiger. It's the cream of the
yeah, the way I hummed it, it sounded similar. Yeah, yeah. But it's really, really good. It's orchestral, but
really
it has,
solid.
It does, yeah.
That, like
the
a
way,
slowed
the way
down
I did,
eye
yeah.
of the tiger.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Team chords, probably.
Boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. I didn't know well, but anyway, it's got the orchestral aspect of it, but it has the, like, electronic, you know, techno sound of Daft Punk,
yep.
And you put the two together, and it's just beautiful, gorgeous. I own it on vinyl. That's how much I love
Whoa.
The score. I bought it on vinyl. When I was like in college and had no money, I spent money on the two disc vinyl set. I just think it's a phenomenal score. So those things all together, and in 2010 when it came out, it was like the score was like one of the most talked about things about the film, and it was like people were listening to it for months and months and months, and like Twitter, all my friends were like, just like, I'm still listening to the Daft Punk score from Tron Legacy like 6 months later, it's so good. It was just one of those things that was like a moment, a cultural, a very brief moment that was clearly quickly forgotten, but it was a moment nonetheless. I loved it so, so much. Over the years, you know, I bought it on Blu-ray, which I own very few Blu-rays intentionally. As you know,
yes.
I only buy Blu-rays of the movies that I really, really enjoy. This made the cut.
Interesting.
And I've watched it once every other year, maybe, since then. I watched it a bunch of times when it first came out on Blu-ray, but I watched it, you know, once a year, once every couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I enjoy it that much. It had been maybe 3-4 years since the last time I watched it. So I watched it for this, you know, got ready. I was like, I'm going to take some notes. It was not as good as I remember.
Oh, my God. You built that up so well.
Well, I had to give you all this context. So it was not.
Whoa.
I did not enjoy it this time as much as I have in the past. I found that now I was watching it less from the enjoying the spectacle of it, mm-hmm. and enjoying the look of it and the sound of it. While I love those things, I was this time really looking at the, like, you and I have been podcasting about film and movies and, yep. and TV and everything, you know, and for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of, you know, criticism of things we enjoy. So I sat down and looked at it for probably the first time through that lens.
Oh.
And I found that, you know, in retrospect, the writing lacks a lot of nuance. It's not super subtle.
No.
It's not super sophisticated.
No.
It kind of feels like, and I meant to verify this, but I haven't, but oh well, here we are. This is just a conversation between two guys drinking beer and talking about movies.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it was written by somebody who is slightly older and doesn't understand what video games really are or why people like them.
Oh, sure.
But just is aware, yeah, the kids like video games.
It's almost got like that 90s problem where like the computer will do it.
Yeah,
the computer in 1992 will not do that.
And part of that is because It was literally that, because the original Tron it was like 1980 or something.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, the computer will do, there's, what if there were little people inside that were like the programs, and then there's the users, and they're the people mm-hmm. who use the computer. But it's this sort of nonsense, hand-wavy fantasy world of yeah. like, there's computers and programs, and don't worry about it. And so that aspect exists because that's kind of baked into the universe.
Right.
But it felt like they were upping the ante so much, definitely in the visuals, mm-hmm. compared to the, if you've even seen clips of the original Tron.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
That they shot it in black and white and then hand-colored everything, like hand-tinted everything. Whoa. To give it that look.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is, but it's in a very primitive the way they had to do mm-hmm. it because of the technology, the limitations of the technology at the time. So they're rooted in this sort of old-fashioned thought about computers, and they kept that, where I felt like they could have advanced that a little bit or added onto it or whatever, but they didn't really. So it has that feeling of grandpa writing about video games, and he doesn't really get why they're cool, but I'm gonna like whatever.
Yeah, right.
Computers and the stuff. So I had it had that to it.
It also exists in this weird world where you have to pay for your phone updates.
Oh, like, well, yeah. So it was a phone OS. It was also a computer OS. And even these days, we don't really pay, like Mac OS gets updated every year for free.
Right.
But in 2010, you were still paying, we were probably paying $30, $40 yep. a year for Mac OS updates.
Right.
But that's kind of what I'm talking about, where it's like, we just release the same software and put a new number on the box. And like, mm-hmm. Here's how we're going to spin it. I know that someone just released our file to the whole world, but we're just going to say it was a gift from NCOM. Like, that's not how decisions get made. Have you ever worked at a...
Yeah.
What? Cillian Murphy doesn't just sit there and decide what the marketing plan is going to be on a whim.
Also, why was he in this movie?
I don't know.
That was my, like, that whole scene, I was distracted by the point, and I think his name's Killian, it's not Cillian.
Okay,
but
I'm not positive.
You're probably, I'm pretty sure that's how probably, you say, I think that's how you say the name. But it's because I think it's usually spelled with a K.
Yeah.
Irish names. Oh, you know how I know that? Because of the beer, Killian's Irish Red.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so it is.
It is with a K, yeah.
So, but anyway, like the whole scene, I was like, why are you in this movie? Were you not famous yet? Why are you in this movie?
He was famous. He was. The Dark Knight had already come out, you know, like this was
Batman
2 years.
Batman Begins and the Dark Knight. Both of them.
Well, but he was only in Batman Begins and then.
He was in all three.
He was in all three?
Yes, he was in Batman Begins as one of the main adversaries. Yeah. He was in the beginning of Dark Knight. I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Oh, sure.
He was the judge.
And then he was the judge, yeah. I remember
because the little strong was sticking out of his little shoulder pads because he's the Scarecrow.
Ah.
Do you know that scene? That was actually supposed to be the Joker.
I did know that. Yeah.
So upsetting.
So upsetting.
Because the Joker makes way more sense in that scene.
It does. Let's not talk about it. It makes me sad.
I know.
But yeah, so yes, he was famous already. Just this like 5 minutes in the movie and that was it.
Yep.
But did you feel like you understood the story? Like, did you feel like you understood the sort of the setup and what was
yeah,
happening?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I understood it. Dad is missing. Mm-hmm. Dad, really bad face CG dad. Although, without that, we really wouldn't be getting anything like
the
that.
MCU
we,
stuff
yeah,
we've been getting.
We get now.
I'll tell you what, though. The first time I saw Ant-Man mm-hmm. and I saw Michael Douglas de-aged,
yeah.
I thought that it was just Michael Douglas in makeup.
Me too.
And in large part because I still had this movie as my reference point for what it looks like when we try to de-age somebody.
Oh, sure.
So in my mind, it wasn't even possible. It didn't even enter my mind that that could possibly be digital de-aging of Michael Douglas.
Gotcha.
That must be makeup.
That one is still one of the best ones. Like, people Fantastic. Talk about Kurt Russell in Guardians.
It was very good, too.
That one was good. There's
I think the weakest one is
another
Tony
one
Stark.
In a recent film that I want to spoil for people. That was okay. There's Tarkin in Rogue One, but that Michael Douglas one is so good.
It's subtle.
Yeah. D.H. Downey Jr. for
that one's my I think the weakest
he's
one.
He's so shiny in
yeah,
that
Yeah,
it's
the weakest one.
Yeah. But it's actually that one I think is close to this one in Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
But again, you pushed the industry forward with it.
Yes.
I'll give it to you.
This
and
was an
he's
early
in
instance
it
of that.
A lot too.
Too much.
It's too much.
Too much.
Too much.
Almost would have rather they recast him.
Yep.
In a way, I almost would have rather they just recast
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's too much.
But it was a noble effort.
Why did we get off on
so
that?
So the story.
Dad's missing and kid's upset about it. It's like classic setup. So he rebels, but he's supposed to run the company, but he's more interested in destroying the company for some reason, even though this company allows him to live in a warehouse for some reason.
He lives in a shipping container.
Why? Why?
My interpretation, my headcanon for that is that the company went off in a sort of an evil corporate direction
sure. yep.
when his dad died. So,
he's like vigilanteing his own company.
So he is the largest, he's the majority shareholder. So
right.
he owns the company.
Right.
His father left him the company. He does not run the company.
Right.
So he just plays a prank every year on the people who run the company because he resents them. He resents what they're doing. Even though it is his source of...
You run the company.
He doesn't run the company. No, he owns the company. There's a
which
difference.
Means that...
No. There's a difference. There's a difference. He's not managing anything.
Yes, I'm aware, but in these little weird, like, in universes like this,
okay.
when you own the company,
yeah.
that also means that you can make the company do whatever you want.
Well, and that's what he decides at the end, is that he's going to come back and, like, take a leadership role in the company.
Why
he's
you
kid.
Why are you wasting
he's also
your,
a kid.
He's like 28 years old.
I think he's supposed to be younger. I think he's supposed to be. I think
yeah,
huh?
yeah. He looks like the 25-year-old
no,
who's
sure.
playing a high schooler.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure he does. He, for yeah. sure he does. I think he's supposed to be playing in his early 20s.
Okay, yeah.
And that he's still immature, and so mm-hmm. it's a character flaw. Like, the reason he's doing this is not
right,
because
sure.
he's right to do it. It's because he's like
sure.
he's a hoodlum. And that's what it's meant to tell us. It's like, oh, he just wants
he's
to ride his motorcycle.
He's a billionaire hoodlum. Yeah.
Jump off buildings and parachute down and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Also, every police ever mm-hmm. is after him. He's like, I'm good.
It's fine.
I mean, I get it as like, oh, he's good at evading things. This is going to be set up
yeah,
for later. So
yes,
when
exactly.
he gets
exactly.
on his light bright bike, you know.
This is what I mean by it's not as nuanced
yeah.
or sophisticated as I remembered it being in 2010.
Sure.
It's very heavy-handed.
But you're more nuanced and sophisticated now than you were in 2010.
I've grown up mm-hmm. and seen better films,
this
honestly.
7 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
A lot of, for, you know, a lot of time has passed. I've watched a lot more movies in the last, you know, 7 years mm-hmm. than I did in the 7 years before that. And,
sure.
and watched them much more critically. So, I can now see the blatantly obvious, like, oh, this is just fine.
Yeah.
That I was blinded by because I was like, this is so much fun. I still think it's really fun. I would still watch this movie every couple of years or something
mm-hmm.
for fun. But I now can see these glaring flaws that were always there that mm-hmm. I always just brushed aside because I was having so much fun.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. I mean, I guess that's part of the Let Me Tell You Why It's Wonderful series, that we recognize
that's it.
Its flaws, but we
that's
still
it.
Enjoy
yeah.
it anyway.
I mean, I think Xanadu is a flaming ball of crap, but it's so much fun, I don't care.
That's true, and we talked about that even with Judge Dredd.
With like, Judge Dredd, too. Like, it's not good.
It's not a...
But it's delightful.
It's delightful. It's not
wonderful.
A well-executed movie. The problem is that this movie's not fun, I don't think.
Oh, see, okay.
It sits in this, again, this little pocket little thing where it was like, nobody's having fun.
Okay. Yes. I are they having fun? Not necessarily.
It's sitting in that space where we were still in like post 9/11 dark America film. You know, like representational of how we were feeling.
Sure.
But it was just about at that era where we're moving out of it.
Yep.
You know, so, yep. You know, like we started moving out of it in 2008, 2009, something like that.
Iron Man.
Arguably Iron Man is the onset of this. And so, which is not fun at all.
Not fun.
Yeah.
But is it fun to watch?
I would argue that it's really not that fun to watch, although it can be, I guess.
I would argue it's fun to watch. They're not having fun.
You can have fun watching a film that's serious, I guess, but there's a difference between like having fun watching a serious film because you like that or having fun because the characters have some sense of life in them.
That's two different things.
Dark Knight, the characters are not having fun.
No.
That is not the world that they live in.
Empire Strikes Back, are they having fun? No. The Empire
Yoda is
right.
Yeah.
There's moments of lightness. There's moments of lightness in this movie But I mean, like Michael Sheen doing his whole like dancing and everything, like
right.
being ridiculous. Like that's a moment of levity that makes you laugh and
And they can have moments of levity in a dark film, but
they're not having fun.
They're not having fun. Like there's some good banters and jabs in Dark Knight. I don't know why we keep using Dark Knight as an example, but that doesn't mean that everyone's having
fun. No, they're not.
And but this movie doesn't. It's a movie that should be fun, and I think that's the problem. You know, Dark Knight doesn't set up itself a movie that should be fun. It should be taken seriously because this is the content that we're dealing with.
Yes,
This is a movie about a kid that goes into a giant computer game and saves the world. Basically, it should be one big pulpy fun flair thing.
Yes,
it's not.
Okay, see, I wrote this down. To me, it has some of the sort of I wrote it as boyish charm that I think that a Judge Dredd sort of has, in that it's a bit of a ridiculous hard pill to swallow of like so you're telling me that a laser behind him zaps him and he goes into the computer that he was just sitting at, and now they can't tell him apart from other people who live in the computer. And so like once you swallow that, everything else is sort of like, sure, of course they're right around the light cycles, why not?
None of that bothered me.
So that's what I'm saying. That
part's okay.
Like it's got sort of that boyish charm of like, this is a silly sci-fi pulpy type of thing, but we're going to go with it. Flash Gordon, whatever. And it has, while he is annoying and I find him less charming than I used to, Sam, he is that sort of rogue bad boy adventurer archetype.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Kind of like, not as badass, but kind of like a Han Solo, kind of like an Indiana Jones, where he's just like, he's a bad boy adventurer.
The difference is that not Han Solo good. And Indiana Jones have fun at their
yes, they do.
Having fun.
They have fun, and they have like more than one dimension.
Yeah.
But I'm
that
gonna
dimension is called Harrison.
Correct. He's having fun when he's being chased by the cops. He's having fun when he's pulling the prank on NCOM.
The actor is giving the character a fun moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's acting fun, but I don't find a real, like it doesn't feel like an authentic enthusiasm coming from him.
I think he's just like, he just gets off on like being, you know, like on, he's a daredevil. He's a daredevil type. Like
sure.
He likes to pull stunts and
think
pranks.
You're misinterpreting. I don't think that actor, who's whatever his name is, guy who played Captain Hook in Pan.
Garrett Hedlund.
Garrett Hedlund, thanks. I think there's, you know how some really good actors, you can almost like see their acting?
Yes.
You know, like
he's not that
you
good.
Can, no, oh God, no.
No, God, no,
no,
no.
But no, like you can see Robert De Niro acting, or Meryl Streep, or even Jared Leto, you can see them acting. You can see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. He exists in the opposite spectrum of that, where he's not that good of an actor, but you can see him acting.
Yes, which is a very bad thing.
Which is a bad thing. It's like just that step above. Like Harrison Ford's a good actor.
Yes.
He's not the world's greatest actor. Sure. He plays a particular type really well.
Okay, yeah.
But because he plays that type well, you're not seeing his acting.
You don't see the seams.
Yeah, exactly. It's like wearing a wig.
Yeah.
You know, like I can see the bit where it connects to your head.
That's where the wig stops and your hair begins.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. And with him, it's very obvious, like, oh, there's a big gap between your hair and the wig. Like,
right.
I see where one ends and the other begins.
Right, and so I don't believe his joy, his enthusiasm when it comes around.
Okay.
And that might be partially because the world inside the game is gorgeous. The reds and the blues and the ships and the costumes, it's so imaginative and so very, very cool looking. But it's also bleak looking.
Yeah,
it's very,
very black.
It's
very dark.
It's dark. It's stark.
And that's a choice. Because of Clue, because of Young Jeff Bridges,
yep,
and the like totalitarian
dumb name, but
yeah, I
yeah,
know. It is. But like the original Tron, everything was white and bright and all light and everything and colorful.
Right.
And this, they made it, you know, colorful, but on a neon on a dark background.
Yeah,
because like the totalitarian regime has taken over.
Okay, yeah, which makes sense. Didn't get that.
Yeah,
but it's fine. But I think that the movie wants to be something. And doesn't quite achieve that level of something.
I agree with you. I think that what this movie is trying to do is the theme or the sort of moral of the story is Clue tried to have a very, very like binary, I mean this in a very literal, like computer sense and just in a general sense, a binary yes or no, black or white. Type of world where like everything was going to be perfect. I'm going to make everything perfect. We're going to build a perfect society in this computer and it's going to be programmed as being all perfect and whatever. Mm-hmm. And what Flynn, what old Jeff Bridges figures out is the imperfect is beautiful. There is beauty in the imperfection. So there's beauty in the analog. You know, not the digital is one thing and it's great and it's good for what it is, but there's beauty in the analog. There's beauty in humanity being imperfect, right? Kind of like a Star Trek type of like concept. These are the ideals that the movie was trying to go for but didn't achieve.
Didn't quite get there.
But it's romanticizing the analog as having more humanity and less perfection and that's okay and that's good. I feel like I understood that now for the first time. But only at the expense of seeing all the imperfections in the film.
Do you know what this? This felt to me like it wanted to be Blade Runner. You know, what is the nature of our humanity?
Yeah,
and you know, can we be real? And we're not. We're also going to ride like into the sunset together.
Yeah,
the quote unquote real person, and the unreal person, or whatever else. Like, it had that kind of like Blade Runner for kids kind of vibe. To it, but it didn't because the movie kind of smacks you with a hammer, like it doesn't, I don't think it does it particularly well. I also think Blade Runner smacks you with a hammer, so
yeah,
you can only imagine the size. It was like one of those hammers from Smash Brothers, you know, like yeah, right, exactly. That's what this movie was.
That was
me.
A very vivid image you just gave me.
Thank you.
Very well done.
Thank you. Sound effects help.
Yeah.
Although your analysis is good, I didn't think of it while I was watching the film.
Took me 7 years to get there.
There you go. Which is funny because we just like, you know, we on another episode we pulled apart a Star Wars trailer.
Yeah.
And saw like one person wearing one color and spent 10 minutes being able to like to dissect that something.
And guess it what the plot of the movie is based, from the colors
based
the person was wearing.
Based on a trailer.
Yeah.
And
then this 2-hour movie, we have to like, I have to watch it every year for 7 years and I'll get back to you.
Right.
What
and,
it means.
And some films, and that's okay.
Yes.
You know, like it's okay. Like you want to revisit a Kubrick film multiple times because
not
you're
all
not
of them though.
Okay, I'll rephrase. I rarely ever want to revisit a Kubrick film.
Yeah,
but the idea is like the or that you could pick up on more things
yes,
the next time.
It has rewatch value.
Whether you actually want to watch it or not, it has rewatch value.
Yes. Even if someone's making you sit there and they're holding your eyeballs open and making you watch it.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Hello, brother.
Hey, brother. Do you want to get some milk?
I would hope not. I agree with you, yes. This does not have the same intrinsic rewatch value. This is not something where if it was put on in front of you and you happen to be in the same room, you're not necessarily going to absorb lots every time.
Yep.
Like you would with a Kubrick film or something like that mm-hmm. has layers. This does not have that many layers.
No.
It's not it's that not sophisticated. A It's not a seven-layer dip.
Nope.
Tron, it's not that
Tron is not a seven-layer
no,
dip.
No, that is definitely true. But I do still enjoy it. I enjoy it less or for different reasons now than I did before. But I still like it. Some things that cannot go unmentioned and cannot go unappreciated are some of the quotes from Jeff Bridges, where he is just being like peak Jeff Bridges, and he is doing like the dude sort of
sure
when he's describing the ISOs, right? The okay. the creatures yeah. that Olivia
Wilde,
Olivia Wilde's character, which she was horribly underserved in this movie, by the way.
Super underserved. You know what this movie was? I'm glad I didn't forget this because I would have been so mad if I didn't say this. This movie was a not as good version of the Lego movie.
Yes.
Guy goes into, like, he's in this weird world and people build stuff and it's all fun, and then this female badass shows up and they escape on these bikes and or this bigger bike
yes.
and they break through the wall and the other people can't go through that wall because it's on the other side.
That's it.
And then it turns out that world, like the world is fake and there's a real world on the outside. It's just not as good a version of the Lego movie.
Legos did it better.
Lego did it better. I mean, did it after too, but did it better.
Did it better.
Yeah. Was it. But it's when Olivia Wilde showed up on the giant. It's when she showed up on the giant thing. I was like, oh my God, it's the Lego movie. That's what I'm watching right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely true.
He's the special. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's it. That's it. You nailed it.
Yeah. That's okay. True. So go back to Jeff Bridges' quotes.
Talking about the ISOs, and he's describing about how it was like somewhere between digital and analog, whatever. Biodigital jazz, man.
Oh my God.
Like, so hippie. Jeff Bridges, amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. And he like committed to that line too. I like you said he was phoning it in. I don't entirely agree. The other thing is when Sam is all like, no, Dad, we're gonna get to the portal and we're gonna leave and it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be great. And he's like, Sam, you're messing with my Zen thing, man.
That was pretty good.
They're great lines.
That was pretty good.
There's some great lines.
That was pretty good. And then he was like, Tony Stark built this in a cave with a box of scraps. And I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing there.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why that was the line.
I don't know. But
I went for it. It's a good one when his tie flips in the back.
It's good.
You know, because clearly they were improving it and they couldn't go back and do it again.
He's so good in that movie.
He's great in that movie.
So good in that movie.
And they made up most of what they were saying. That movie works on a lot of levels.
So many levels.
So many arc reactors.
Oh, so great. Anyway, so those are my thoughts on Tron Legacy 7 years on. I still enjoy it quite a bit. Would I still call it wonderful? Yes, I would. But I see the flaws that it has now more than I saw them before. I always, for 7 years, have been debating, oh, would Tim like this movie? I don't know. I really like this movie. Would Tim like this? I don't know. And the more I've gotten to know your tastes mm-hmm. in and out, you know, as we've podcasted together over the years, I started to think, yeah, he might not like this too much. It's very sci-fi and
yeah.
you know, and not a lot of, not a, leaving aside that I did not yet remember or realize that how inelegant the movie was.
Yep.
Just on the basis of being very sci-fi and not super fantasy and things mm-hmm. like that, I was like, yeah, he might not like it for those reasons. Am I right about that being at least among the reasons why you weren't crazy about it?
I think I would have liked it more if the story was better.
Stronger.
It was something that I'd seen before,
mm-hmm.
but I was really taken with the production value yeah. of it, which is very sci-fi. When sci-fi is so sci-fi that it's almost fantasy, like it's unexplainable,
yeah,
I
yeah.
like that sci-fi.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, because I do, you know, it always make it sound like I don't like science
nothing
fiction.
Not that you dislike sci-fi. Because I dislike fantasy,
right.
but
I like science fiction more than you like fantasy.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
I consider myself a science fiction fan.
Yes.
But it's not my first genre of choice. Yes. You know, and that's it, you know, it'd go superheroes, fantasy, then sci-fi, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it just depends on the caliber of sci-fi. Yeah. Like, they're kind of close together because if I have the choice between a good sci-fi film and a bad fantasy film, I'm going to choose the good sci-fi film mm-hmm. because it's a good film.
Right.
You know, I'm going to choose the good product over the mediocre product anytime. I think that's really,
Yeah.
But it was honestly the story that kind of like, it's fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm glad I watched it because it's something that I had been meaning to watch for so long that I'm glad I finally got there.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. All right. Well, it's come to that part of the show where now it's time for you to give me an assignment.
The time has come, and so, mm-hmm. my dear, and so we face the final curtain. You ever see George of the Jungle? This is not my thing, but...
No, I actually haven't.
Oh, I think Gorilla sings that at the end. It's great. Movie's not good. Movies first 10 minutes are great and then it kind of slides downhill from there. So my pick for you, this is a movie that I honestly don't think you're going to like that much.
Oh good, we're starting in a good place.
I don't think it's your kind of film,
okay,
but it's just got a stupid amount of talented people in it in a bad movie,
okay,
that I think you're gonna like it, and that movie is Ocean's 13. No, it's not. No, it's not.
I like those movies.
No. My film of choice for you is Lake Placid.
Lake Placid. Okay.
Lake Placid came out in the late 90s, I think 99.
Okay.
And it is about a giant crocodile that is living in a lake in Maine. Oh, it's God. Not living in Lake Placid, Frank. That would make too much sense. It's living in Black Lake, which is possibly an imaginary lake in Maine.
Oh, my God.
And somebody from the Natural History Museum goes up to Maine to investigate, and there she runs into Bill Pullman, who is in this movie. We all, you know, we're big fans of Bill
yes.
Pullman here. You know, why wouldn't you be?
No, I'm a fan.
So Bridget Fonda, that's who it is.
Oh,
so it's Bridget Fonda
runs into Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman and Brendan Gleeson, who is the sheriff in town.
Okay.
Because why wouldn't one of the greatest actors of his generation be in this movie about a giant crocodile? And then crocodile specialist Oliver Platt shows up.
Oh no.
And then they go see, I'm gonna tell you I kind of wanted you to be surprised about who was in this movie, but
don't tell me.
Well,
don't tell me.
It's in the credits at the beginning of the film, and so it tells you.
Still, don't tell me. Let's leave that. Let's leave
okay.
that.
Okay,
I will experience it as part of the film,
okay.
And then I'll be like, "What the what? This person's in this," and I'll wonder until we see.
Okay,
it.
It's not. You'll understand why it's funny when it pops up, and so it's supposed to be Jaws.
But with a crocodile.
But with a crocodile. Because you have all that. You have the sheriff.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You have the sheriff.
Oh, sure. All the players are there.
You have Fish and Wildlife,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
like the, you know, the, so you have Quint, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you have the specialist show up. So you have the Richard Dreyfuss character. So you have your main core, like, Jaws thing, which, quite honestly, I've never thought about until this very moment. This is not a movie that needs any kind of dissection.
All right. Let's save it for when we actually talk about
okay,
this.
Okay.
Like,
so that's
okay,
the movie. Lake
setup.
Placid. 1999's
okay.
Lake Placid.
Okay.
It's all you.
Okay.
Okay.
I have my orders. Let's do this.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Let's do this.
Okay.
You can tell me why it's wonderful another time.
I will. So you can find us at beerwithgeeks.com or Twitter, Gmail, and Facebook. You can find all of our other Thought Bubble Audio shows at thoughtbubbleaudio.com. And things like Hate Watch With Us, Academy Rewind, Supergirl TV Talk, and Starkville's House of El Krypton. You are also more than welcome to head over to iTunes to leave us a splendid, splendid review. I have one right here. Woo, 5 stars from the Rhymesmith. Says, Tim is my favorite clerk.
All right.
I was a great clerk. I used to work at Blockbuster, and I was an amazing Blockbuster clerk.
That is true. And you made that same joke. Because we did our episode on indie films with The Big Sick, mm-hmm. and we talked about Clerks and everything, and yep. I said, say Tim's your favorite Clerk. And I think you said exactly, you're like, well, I worked at Blockbuster, so that's kind of true.
Yeah, I was an amazing
So you're
clerk.
Consistent.
I don't remember doing that at all, you but said there, that. There you did. Go. So, wonderful. This episode was wonderful. I brought a thing
yes.
about it. Let me tell you why yeah. it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
But we are going to wrap this up. So I'd say until next time, cheers.